There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely a place for you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am your host, LaShelle Weamy. And today you guys get a chance to meet my new friend, Dr. Pranay Parikh. You guys, he is going to blow your socks off, especially if you are in healthcare and you are feeling like this calling for something a little bit more. He is going to bring so much wisdom, so much experience to the plate that I cannot wait for you to hear from him. So thank you so, so much for showing up today and just literally allowing us to learn from you and to be inspired by you.
Thanks so much for the opportunity. You know, us healthcare people in healthcare really need to stand up for each other and lift each other up. So I'm always excited to talk to everyone, you know, nurses, techs, other doctors, because I think we need to all come together and try to help each other as much as we can.
Absolutely. And it was so fun because the day that the two of us met for the first time, I was actually in between anesthesia cases, wasn't I? And so I'm like, all right, so you are, you know, well familiar with surgical scrubs and all the things because you're a physician and you understand call and you understand the demands of call. But you also understand, like me, this deep inner calling of something more. And so I would love for you to kind of tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to be someone who's helping other healthcare providers really go after something different.
Yeah. So I went through traditional medical school, residency, all that good stuff. And, you know, when I graduated, I knew that it was more important what I did with my money than how much I made, you know, because you can always spend it. Yeah. And I had all these loans. And so I looked around and, you know, I picked real estate, at least initially. And I bought my first property, like many of us do.
Yeah.
And I realized it just took a lot of work. You know, I had gotten super lucky on buying my first one. I was thinking maybe I'd buy one a year and it just spent so much time. I should have just spent time working instead of looking for properties. And that's where I found passive real estate. I was like, you get, you know, 98% of the benefit of owning your own real estate, but someone else does all the work for you. And so we decided to teach a course. You know, I love education. I'm always trying to figure out how I can learn more. So we taught a course. We taught people how to find passive real estate deals, how to invest in real estate, not be a landlord. And then we thought we were done, but all these healthcare professionals took our course and they said, you know, we like what you say. We trust you now. And we kind of want to just invest in the same deals that you do. Maybe we can come together as a group, get better deals, get better terms. And so that's how we started Ascent Equity Group. And so now we, instead of taking a small piece of the deal, we actually buy the whole apartment complex ourselves. We still partner with real estate experts, but we're able to kind of throw our weight around. You know, we have a ton of, not just doctors, pharmacists, we have a lot of dentists and just everyone healthcare. I mean, you know, we're open to everyone, but really focus on bringing in healthcare people. And, you know, I've been doing that. And then lastly, you know, to help people now that I'm a business owner and created a business, I started a podcast to help other doctors do the same.
That is amazing. And I just have to ask you, you know, some people might be listening to this and think of healthcare providers as people who already make a good living. So they might be asking, like, why is it that you as a doctor felt the need to bring in additional income into your life without them understanding the whole picture? So why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. You know, we are wage earners and we are tied to the job, you know, and tied to the job. Like I told you before we started, I worked last night, you know, so I had just gotten up, got refreshed, and you know, and a lot of times you're stuck, right? You don't have that flexibility. A lot of times you have to work holidays, right? And you've made so much sacrifice, like yourself, you've made such a sacrifice to get your training and then get your specialty in anesthesia that you should be able to pick the shifts you want. You shouldn't have to work nights if you don't want to, right? I work nights by choice, but if I didn't want to work them, I should have that opportunity. I should be able to work as much or as little as I want, you know? And I think what's happening right now is a lot of people are getting burnt out and they're choosing not to work anymore, which is unfortunate because we spend so much effort to train someone up and, you know, they've obviously have a passion to help people. And it hurts us as a whole community every time someone leaves. So instead of them leaving, if they can temper down their shifts to maybe two times a week, three times a week, four times a week, or maybe they work full time, but they work on their own schedule. Maybe they do half days, you know, maybe they don't do Fridays anymore. So that unfortunately takes money, you know, and a lot of those shifts that most people don't want to work, the weekends and nights are the ones that pay more. So you got to make a little bit outside of medicine. Plus also, you know, we in medicine know that nothing is guaranteed. Like you work, you go to school for 20 years and there's no guarantee you're going to be able to work another 20, 30 years at your job. You know, you just never know. So it's good to have some money coming in elsewhere to really feel safe.
Absolutely. And not to mention the cost of education, right? I mean, I'm fortunate enough that I was able to get scholarships and stipends and different things along the way that burden wasn't as much as a lot of my colleagues who have hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt that they're paying off. And it forces them, therefore, then to work more to try to pay those student loans off, which more leads to the burnout that you're just talking about. And you feel really stuck.
Yeah, my wife is a nurse practitioner, and she was very picky with where she went to nursing. And it was I think under 20,000 for her whole master's degree, which now I'm realizing was a great choice because we live in Los Angeles, and she could have went to USC, which for the same schooling would have been over 100,000. And it's you know, and it's a burden, these loans, but you want to do it because you want the training, you want to be able to help people in a greater sense. And it's, you know, until you get under it, it really feels like a weight. So so what do? You work a lot, right? You work a lot to pay off your loans and then you get burnt out. You know?
Yes.
So and even, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So if you're making a little bit of money, that doesn't take, you know, an hour of your time shouldn't be an hour of money, right? If you're able to kind of separate that just a tad bit, I think just helps with the stress a ton.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was literally talking to one of my dear friends that I've known my entire medical career. So, you know, over 20 years now. And she is in medicine and completely burned out. She said, "Lachelle, I feel like I'm living a life of a death of a thousand cuts." She's like, "Nothing bad has happened. I haven't had any big traumatic event, but I'm tired of seeing people die. I'm tired of seeing people ill and hurting. And she's in a supervisory role. So has a full patient load and she's taken on a leadership, you know, responsibility. And it's making her want to quit. And if we can allow for people to give them some reprieve, she loves medicine. She loves her patients. And it's her caseload that is literally keeping her in her job because she said, "I would miss them so much if I left." But she's feeling really stuck right now and her joy is gone. And she called me crying. And I think that your ability to help people to recognize that there are options out there that we can give ourselves that allow for that burden, for that burnout, that, you know, the things that make us feel stuck while we still can do what lights us up. Many of us went to school for years and years, decades even, and we don't want to necessarily give all of that up. But so many people are because they don't recognize that there might be an extra option.
Yeah, and your friend sounds amazing. It would be such a loss to all of us, to us as a community,
right?
If someone like that decided to leave, to go into something else.
Yes, absolutely. So I would love to kind of twist the conversation a little bit towards some of the things that you're doing to acquire this wealth. And I want to just have you touch on, because I'm a nerd. I love this stuff. I love learning about investments. I'm an entrepreneurial by heart. So I have several different ways that I bring in income. And I always make sure that I have a way that delivers either residual or passive income, because the compound and the lack of ratio of effort to income is so profound that we should be finding different ways to bring that in. So I would love for you to describe for the audience what that means to consider a passive or residual income. Because many people that are working 9 to 5, especially healthcare providers, don't necessarily understand that hours to work equal the paycheck. There are other ways to make money.
Yeah. And you know, it's definitely not a get rich quick scheme. You know, I'm not going to say you invest and a year later, you're going to be able to quit your job. But I think we underestimate how much money that something like this will make and overestimate how much money we need to change our life significantly.
Yes.
So I was recently on a stage and that was my talk. I was like, you know, your ideal life is a lot closer than you think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, quick example, I work nights. I make about $20 extra per hour. So right times 12. So and it's a 12-hour shift. So $240 per day extra, right? Mm-hmm. And 14 shifts are full-time for us, are called nocturnists, you know, night doctors.
Yeah.
So that's $3,360. Per month, right? Extra, the differential to work between nights and days. And times 12, that's about 42,000 if you round up a little bit.
Yeah.
So if I switched all my nights to days, it'd be $42,000, right?
Right.
And so that's, you know, that seems like a number that's not that hard to hit. But you have to remember that number is before taxes, right? So if I'm in California, I'm taking home like 21, so half of that. But the money that you're getting from real estate, it's not tax-free, but it's tax-deferred, and you could defer it for forever and ever, right? So now I have to make $21,000. That's to change every single one of my shifts from night to day. I think you'd say that's a pretty significant change in my life. But let's say I change half of them. That's a pretty significant change, right?
Right.
6 months, that's $10,000, or a third of them, $7,000. Now, $7,000 in a year, you can hit that, you know, decently well in terms of passive income. So, you know, that's just if you do nights to days, if you do two less shifts. So instead of 14, I do 12. The math is about the same. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, my friend recently went on his 10-year anniversary to Bora Bora. You know, it was expensive. It was, you know, low five figures. And he was thinking, like, man, what if I did one of these every year? Right. How great would his relationship with his spouse be? And, you know, the math is pretty similar. It's, you know, 10 to 15,000 for an extravagant vacation.
Right.
And so those are things. So, you know, you don't need to replace your whole salary. Cause when I talk to someone, I was like, how much money do you need to make? They look at their salary and divide by 12. They're like, I didn't make $20,000 extra a month.
Right. But, right.
It's hard to do that. You can eventually. I know plenty of people that do. But start at something that's going to actually be possible. I know a lot of times we talk about, you know, big, hairy, audacious goals. And it's good to have those. But it's also good to have stuff that's small, that's accessible, right?
Right.
And you get that forward momentum. Because if you have a goal that's just really hard to get, you're going to feel overwhelmed, you know? You have enough stuff. You need to have a couple quick wins. You have that big goal, but a couple quick wins that you can get, you know, maybe you're going to make an extra $100 a month. I can promise you, your first 100 is harder than your first 1,000, you know?
Right, right. Oh my gosh, 100%.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, we decided that we're going to help people try to make it as easy as possible. We really have a bespoke experience where you don't do anything. We do everything for you. And, you know, it's kind of something that I wish was created for me. I actually wish someone else had done it so I didn't have to make it myself. But
because
no one else did it, we had to create it. And, you know, all all three of us founders are physicians. We still practice in some capacity. Yeah. And we really created this for healthcare professionals.
You know, I am not in this space anymore, but I remember being surrounded by a lot of really high paid doctors, lawyers, just really successful people who were in the network marketing business that I was in several years ago. And people would look at them the same and they'd be like, why are you doing something like this when you have such a successful career and this education? And it always came down to, I am able to create this long-term residual income based on the amount of effort that I'm putting in up front. And that sounds like a lot of what you're talking about. It's like, it might not be a quick, you know, get rich quick scheme, but what it does is it prevents you from being in the same situation 10 years down the road as you are now. And I think that oftentimes we're told that we need to go to college, get a good job, work in that job for 40 years, hope that you have enough money to retire comfortably, and all fingers crossed you're healthy enough to do it, right? And what you're basically saying is, let's start to make some small changes now so that we can start to introduce that better life now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, my wife's best friend was an ICU nurse at Stanford. Amazing. She would do cardiac critical care, you know, some of the sickest patients. Mm-hmm. And one day she felt a bump, a lump, and it was a stage 3 cancer. And she actually passed away a year later at age 34, And so it's not guaranteed. And having this, you know, we in healthcare are masters at delayed gratification, but I think it's important to enjoy some time. You know, we went to Maui recently with my 17-month-old. It's important to enjoy things along the way because you just never know.
Well, that's just it. You know, I think that you hit the nail on the head that we see people suffering on a daily basis, yet we don't. I mean, I don't, at my current anesthesia position that I'm in, I don't get breakfast. I don't get lunch. I'm on calls for 7 days in a row. So I might not be getting good sleep at night, yet we teach that to our patients and we watch them, you know, suffering from debilitation and possible neglect from their health. And yet, you know, here we are in air quotes, like sacrificing everything in our own self, our own wellness, our own bodies in order to take care of them. And there is nothing that says that the roles can't be reversed, that I, you know, might be the one on the table that day.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I call it gradual retirement, right?
Yeah.
Don't wait 20, 30 years, right?
Yeah.
Enjoy some of that now because you have the health, you know, you have the fitness and these are really the prime time in your life, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's always that story of this doctor, the surgeon who's, you know, he's 60 years old and now his kids are grown and they don't want to spend time with him because he or she didn't spend time with them while they were growing up because he wanted to provide for them. But I think those days are kind of gone. That, you know, it reminds me of the generation above us.
Yes.
Where, you know, they worked so hard and they provided for us, but they, you know, they were absent. And I think now as a generation, we want to kind of raise our kids, raise our families a little bit different than that.
Right. And I think that's so fascinating because I have done like generational talks when I was still on faculty. And it's so fascinating because when you talk to people in the traditionalist or boomer generation, right, they have regrets. They wish that they hadn't worked quite as hard as they did. And so yet it's so funny because some of them are like, oh, this younger generation, they're not working as hard as they need to. So it's like, okay, well, we're taking your advice. we're creating a more balanced life. And that's what this looks like. And so I think that a lot of times in healthcare, specifically right now, employers are having a hard time understanding that people really want balance. And so it's almost even more important that we take some of this into our own hands. And, you know, as we had talked earlier, you know, I stepped away from my 20-year career in anesthesia. And right now I'm just helping out this small town rural hospital as a short-term assignment, just because I wanted a little bit of a bridge in my entrepreneurial journey. I love doing anesthesia. So I wanted to make sure that I maintained that. but I'm able to help them on my terms when I tell them that I can. And that's really satisfying. And I think that, you know, we have to start trusting ourselves and to take those leaps of faith. And it doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing. Like, my experience is that I didn't have to quit my job and then go full force into entrepreneurship. What I was able to do is think about what other solutions are out there that could allow for me to make this happen. And, you know, one of the nurses that I've been counseling has recently said, like, I would love to stop doing what I'm doing at the hospital and build my business. And so we were talking, it's like, there are huge pockets of employment opportunities in the Minneapolis area right now, which is not too far from her home, that is needing nurses and are paying 3-4 times what they're paying her currently at the place she is. And like, what happens if you would decide to go up there and work, you know, for 12 weeks and make enough money for the entire year? And so I think that the real estate, the looking out of the box and thinking about ways that we can build the life that we desire now is so important, because we don't know what life is going to throw at us. And so to take that opportunity to choose and to be resourceful and out of the box thinking is really going to help us to basically live that and life. And I didn't know that that existed, right? When I was at the prime, in air quotes, of my career, I was working at one of the best healthcare facilities in the world. And working, you know, half time in anesthesia, half time in faculty. And I was doing everything that I thought I had ever dreamed of. But what the issue was, is that as I climbed that corporate ladder, per se, I was spending less and less time at home, which is why I chose not to be a cardiac surgeon at the beginning of my undergrad, mm-hmm. right? Because I wanted that balance. And here I was literally working nonstop. I was the last mom to tear into the daycare center right before they closed, right? And it was like in this realization that I was now not living the life that I wanted to live. And I wanted the and life. I wanted to be challenged and fulfilled, making a difference in the world. But I also wanted to be a more present parent. And I think that when we can recognize those desires and make sure that we are choosing to seek out opportunities that can make that happen, we don't have to stay stuck, right? I oftentimes joke that my least favorite four-letter F word is fine, F-I-N-E. Because I think that we can get stuck in fine. I think that we can get stuck into, well, you know, I'm not happy, but it's fine, right? And I love the things, because you're giving people hope that there are ways that we can get into a different reality, right?
Yeah. And a lot of times we're looking for permission, right?
Yes.
Because we're so used to going up the totem pole, right? You go into nursing school and then you get an NP or you get a CRNA and then you do a supervisory role, your house, your lead, you know?
Yeah.
And we're waiting for someone to give us permission. But for this stuff, they're not going to give you permission. And this is kind of actually probably against what they want, right? Because they want you working nonstop at the hospital.
Yes.
They're not worried that you're going to get a hernia from lifting up this 300-pound patient or, you know, you're going to get COVID or all this stuff. And, that, you know, it's not their fault, right? And the corporate business structure is meant to increase profits, right? So they're not focused on your well-being, and they don't have to be, right? But that means you really have to be focused, right? Not just your well-being, but how you fit into your family, right? And that you're there while your kids grow up, that you do date night with your spouse. You know, I actually put date night into our calendar, because if it's not in my calendar, it doesn't get done.
Right.
So schedule it just like I would schedule a lunch meeting or something else. You know, there's certain times of the day that are just blocked off for spending time with my son, you know?
Yeah.
I don't do it all the time. It's not perfect. Sometimes there's a phone call or something that I need to handle, but you've got to be intentional with this.
Yes. Oh my gosh, 100%. And I would love to know, like, what are some of the biggest barriers? You've kind of touched on it a little bit, but what are some of the biggest barriers that you found in people that you've worked with that keep them from stepping into this type of life?
You know, one of the things I hear all the time, and actually when I was at the conference, I had people raise their hands and I said, how many people have said, it was mostly doctors. I was like, how many of you said, I'm just a doctor, right? Mm. And everyone's hands grow up. But it's like, you know, if you're a doctor, you're a nurse, you're probably one of the, at least the most well-educated people in a room, right? Almost any room.
Right.
And you're able to handle so much, like cardiology, endocrine, GI, right? You're really able to handle all these different specialties. So you can handle something like real estate. I mean, there's 18-year-olds that are killing it in real estate. You know? And so I have no doubt that most people in medicine can handle it. It's just giving ourselves permission, feeling that we're able to do it, you know, and that's half the battle. Everything, the rest is just, you know, read a book or two. That's it, you know?
Yeah.
On the other end, a lot of people are like, okay, yeah, I think I can do it. I'm ready to get started. And they'll be like, okay, I got 10 books. You know, I'm going to these 10 conferences. I'm going to take all these courses.
Right.
And they just feel like they're never ready. But, you know, you just got to get started, right?
Yes.
Look, what do we do in nursing? What do we do in medicine? You read a little bit and then you get thrown in there, right?
Yes.
You don't feel ready, right? You're like, I need another year, but they get you ready, right? You're putting in a Foley, like you're like, I have no idea which hole does this go in, you know? but you got to get started, right? You got to get dirty. You got to get messy. You got to get some bodily fluids on you, right? And that's just like entrepreneurship. You got to get started. Mm-hmm.
Right. And what would be your best advice for somebody to get started? Like, what is the next right step that would help somebody move in the direction that they could be going in?
So first step, so your listeners are already 1-0 because they're listening to your podcast. You know, it's inspiring. You're giving people a lot of tips, techniques. You're interviewing people of all different types.
Right.
So 1-0 already, right? And then after that, it's just get started. Try to find something, you know, we spend so much time in research, but find something that you're interested in and try it out, right? It might fail spectacularly, but I promise you, you'll learn skills along the way. Yeah. So I started a blog that I ended up stopping because not good at writing, but I learned skills and then I actually took a master's later and I had completely forgotten to do a paper. And my professor was like, hey, where's that paper? 5 pages. I was like, give me a second. And in like an hour, I was able to write a 5-page paper because I was so used to doing my blog post like 10 minutes before it was due. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, I forgot to send it to you. Here it is, like an hour later, you know? So I learned how to write better from the blog. And that's a skill that now I'll always carry, even though the blog failed, you know, in terms that it wasn't that fun for me. But so you'll learn all these different skills in entrepreneurship. And even if something doesn't go well, you know, we always worry about spending our time on something that we don't know will be successful, you know?
Right.
And then I realized that I like to talk to people and have great conversations. And that's why I started my podcast. And now that's just, it's going with the grain instead of against it.
Right. And I think that, you know, we do, especially those of us in medicine, we're a lot of perfectionist type A people, right? We don't want to get it wrong. And therefore, we never actually start because we have to do it, like you said, more research and such. And I think that what you said was so profound because you might discover the best thing by what didn't work. And, you know, my own business right now, like I have been doing so many different things, even, you know, most recently one-on-one coaching. And while I love it, I found that more people really wanted kind of a one and done, like big, heavy strategic day where we knock out and we compress time. And I'm like, you know what? I love that too. And so as an anesthesia provider, like I'm kind of an instant gratification junkie anyway, right? Yeah. And so I never wanted to prescribe Lasix to somebody and see how it worked in like a month. That it was never my jam. And so I am finding that it was in doing, in getting started and trying something that I got a chance to see like, you know what? I love parts of this, but I don't love other parts of this. And this is what I'm really good at. And so you can never understand that until you get your feet wet and started to figure out like, I don't want to be tied to my calendar that much, or, oh, I love people. So I need to make sure that I have something with people. And so you might just very well find that the thing that you don't love is the biggest lesson in what it is that you want to do. And it's okay to pivot. It's okay that I can rebrand myself. It's okay for me to no longer offer a service and offer a different service. It's okay to find out that you don't love real estate, but look at this, you learned all of these things that now you want to be a financial advisor or something. You know, like, you never know where it's going to lead, but you have to at least make that opportunity to present itself in a way that gets you into action. And I also love what you said about just like, we research. And I think that sometimes it's literally, who do I know that can get me to where I want to go? And I think that if you can think about it, like, who do I know that's living the life that I want? And it might be you, right? And therefore, a 9-minute conversation with you can make a bigger difference than 9 months of studying videos on YouTube or books around the subject, right? And so looking at people in your life and figuring out what you want, and then making that person be part of your life, whether it be hiring them or befriending them, but getting that circle around you that can show you the way, I think is so incredibly important to make it possible, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the quickest way to supercharge your results is to really find a mentor, right?
Yeah.
To pay for someone to be your coach, because they'll be able to see things, just like you said, someone that's done what you want. You know?
Yeah. And yeah.
In medicine, a lot of times we learn from our co-residents, our co-nurses, and they were just a little bit ahead of us. Maybe they had taken that class before us, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't have to talk to this like super expert.
Right.
From Harvard or something, right? You can talk to your colleagues, and that's the way, you know, you get started, and then you find someone to give you that feedback, because that feedback takes forever to learn, right? And you can skip 5 to 10 years of just trouble and trial on yourself by talking to someone, you know? And that's how you really pour jet fuel on your results, by having someone that's done what you want to do and has successfully helped other people.
Absolutely. There's two things that I want to mention from that. One, really quickly, is that those of you guys who do not work in healthcare might not realize that resident doctors, who are essentially doctors in training, essentially, you have a medical license, but you're still in training on hands-on. So resident doctors train other resident doctors, you guys. Like, we oftentimes think that we're not capable or qualified until we get all of these certifications or we have all of these things, when really, like you said, we just need to be one step ahead or two steps ahead of the people we're trying to help. And if I were to go to some of the people that had been doing this for 30 years, they don't remember what it's like to have the questions that I have. And so don't dismiss your value in the marketplace. And I also wanted to say that oftentimes when I have found people who are willing to give me advice, I don't always take that advice if I'm not paying for it, because it's almost like subconsciously I'm not valuing it enough. And I kind of joked around, like, I have a coach now who told me to charge a certain amount of money for a service that I'm providing. And I was like, I can't do that. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm paying her to tell me what to do and I'm not taking her advice. Like, how stupid is that? Right. And so I identified a money block that I had in that situation. I would not have identified if I hadn't been paying for her service. And so I just want to encourage you guys to know that sometimes in the entrepreneurial space, like, compress the time and invest in a mentor, a consultant, a coach that is going to get you where you want to go faster, not only because of their expertise, but because you're more willing to do what they tell you to do when you have some skin in the game.
Yeah. And I mean, just look at this podcast. If she's giving away all this free knowledge, like, think about how amazing the stuff that she can't tell on public, right? Individualized information that's specific to you, you know, and similar to my podcast, you know, we try to give out as much knowledge and help that we can, but there's a lot more stuff that could be individualized for your specific scenario.
And
so there's just no way to give that level of detail on a podcast that goes to everyone, even though we're kind of niched down to healthcare professionals. There's just, you know, your situation is unique. And I have coaches for everything. I have a voice coach, I have a podcast coach, I have a real estate coach.
Yep.
And, you know, it hurts a little bit in the starting, because you're paying up to tens of thousands of dollars.
Right.
Know? My business partner pays hundreds of thousands of dollars for his coaches. Mm-hmm. But, you know, think about it. Like, Adele has a coach. Venus Williams has a coach. Like, these people are at the pinnacle of their game.
Yes. And yes.
They still have blind spots and they still need help.
100%. And the more successful I get, the more expensive my coaching is. And but the less I bat an eye about it. Yeah. And it's funny because I heard somebody tell me, like, they had seen this meme that I thought it was so funny. They said, the person who's going to invest $500 is asking for every single detail. Like, well, what am I going to get for my money? And the person who's paying $500,000 is like, where do I sign? Because they value, like, they just recognize that it takes that to just level up to the next level. And I think oftentimes, you know, one thing I wanted to just share too, is that when we went into school for what we do in our medical profession, you know, we pay tuition to learn a skill, right? So why do we think that we start a business and we don't necessarily need any training or investing in the tuition that it takes to get us to where we want to go? We just expect that we're going to make the decision and then everything's going to fall into place, and it doesn't. So to look at it like that, and to, that you're literally paying tuition to become the person that you want to become and as successful as you want to become, allows us to be more receptive, I guess, to that investment.
Yeah, and you know, now a lot of coaches or mentors, they have stuff like a podcast or blogs. Yeah. So check out their material, see if it resonates with you.
Yes.
And if it actually, listen to some of the stuff they say, try it out. You know, if you have benefit, then maybe you decide to go. I'm not saying go spend $10,000 like willy-nilly, but if you're having results already, right? And tangible results, substantial results, then it might make sense. And, you know, don't have like 15 coaches for the same thing. Have one.
Yep.
But there's the thing is, you have different coaches for different parts of your life and different levels. So once you level up, you're like, hey, thank you for getting me to this level.
Yes.
Now I'm going to get a new coach. And that's actually, that's a good thing for them. They're like, man, I was super successful because they're very focused on this one. Maybe so for business coaches, like getting 1 to 5 million, you're at 1 million revenue, they help you get to 5 million, right?
Yeah.
And say, hey, thank you. And they'll be like, okay, yeah, now I'm going to work with someone else to get them from 1 to 5. And you need to work with someone that gets you 5 to 10. So there's different coaches at different levels of your business or your life.
Right. Oh my gosh. I love that. Is there anything else that you wanted to make sure to mention that we haven't touched on? Because we've had such a great variety of things that we've talked about during our time together. I want to make sure that you've had a chance to mention any other things that we haven't already talked about.
Yeah. So, you know, the name of the real estate company is AscentEquityGroup.com.
Okay.
If people want to get more information, my email is Pranay, Pranay, at AscentEquityGroup.com. And my podcast is From MD to Entrepreneur.
I love it. And we'll make sure that you guys have all of the access inside of the show notes so that you can touch base with him and learn how you can work with him. I love that. If you haven't already, make sure that you're taking a screenshot, share this episode out in your stories, tag us so that we get a chance to tag you back and have that interaction, because it's so much fun to get to know you guys out there in the listening world. If you haven't already, make sure that you hit subscribe and leave a review and let him know how impactful this conversation was. And we just are so grateful that you guys are here. Thanks for listening. And thank you so much, Pranay, for being here. I so appreciate you.
Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate
All right.
It.
Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Untuck Podcast. I am so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.